Welcome to the Pascal Ngwe Podcast. Pastor Pascal is the senior pastor of Alive Bible Church, a vibrant and growing church with branches across South Africa. Pastor Pascal is an anointed teacher of the Word of God who makes the Bible to come alive. Get ready to be empowered as you listen to the Word of God.
We can please be seated in His presence. I will start by asking you to excuse me for the state of my voice. I'm sure you are hearing. Been battling with flu, but God is faithful. Hallelujah. I'm so blessed by the words of our lady pastor this morning. She put them so accurately that if it wasn't for God, I don't think we'll be here 10 years later. I know a number of pastors that have joined other churches, and I didn't know why, but in the course of our conversations, and they told me, you know, during COVID, our church closed down, and we were never able to get it back up, so we had to join another church. We let go of our members. When COVID hit South Africa, Alive Bible Church was only 5 years old. It was rather during COVID that God told me to come and start building this. We started building this, I think around May. I can't remember. So, God has been good to this church. Very good. I speak to you like this because I happen to be the one pastoring this church. And I tell you, God is good to Alive Bible Church. God is good. He is good. He is so good. This morning, I was in my office and he reminded me, which is something I've said many times before. I didn't have an office when I started out. I had nothing. We were meeting at Sports and Social. You will see all of this next week, Sunday, when you come. We take you back to our journey. An ungrateful people is a condemned people. They will not go far. From time to time, they say, that's why we celebrate birthdays, not to brag. We celebrate anniversaries not to show off. It's to look back at how good God has been. And to also reflect at all that has been achieved during that time. Praise the Lord. I think it will be so unfair of us as a church. Look, I'm begging you. I can even say to you, forget about my birthday. It doesn't matter. It means nothing. But Sunday, don't miss it. If this church has ever been a blessing to you at any level, make an effort. Let's be here on Sunday, all of us. To do what? Just to say thank you. Lord, thank you for helping this church. You know, when I started out, the brother was in Mokwasi Church. It was our biggest church back then. I asked him one Sunday morning, where are you going? He said, I'm going to Sun City. They said, you're going to the church of Pascal. You are going to a crowdless church. Yes. He told me after the service, they told him, they laugh at him. They say, you are going to a church without people. He told me after the service, this is what somebody told me this morning when I was coming here. We were nothing. Nothing. And I look at what God has done in 10 years. It's a lot. It's a lot. There's a pastor friend of mine I always meet when we go to the pastor's conference in Pretoria. 3 years ago, I met him.
He told me he was building. He showed me the picture. I prayed with him. 2 years ago, I asked him, how far is the building? I tell the truth, I lie not. He showed me the picture. He had put 6 zinc. After a year, 6 zinc. I saw him this year at the conference. I said to him, because now I'm thinking we are done. I said, how far are you with the building? He didn't want to show me. I said, no, I want to see. I want to celebrate you. He showed me again. Now the zincs are 12. I said, what? After 3 years, a whole structure of 12 zincs. The other side is still empty. And the Holy Ghost says to me, last year, you put 3 roofs in 3 branches. You remove a whole roof. You put another one. IBR 0.4, the strongest. I say, my God, what is this? I say, what you see happening to you naturally, another person, you can't understand. It's like I just choose, you know, put one building here, put one building there. Go check. It's the grace of God. I tell you, it's the grace of God that has helped us. Must look at our church. Small, small, small children. You ask yourself, where's the money coming from? It's coming from heaven. I can tell you, when we started the church, a person was paying it at God's time, 9,000. 8,000. I thought everybody in the church was that person until I asked everybody. Nobody was that person. I concluded it is an angel that has been paying this tithe. And it was like that for a couple of months, and then it stopped after a while. Nobody knew who is paying this tithe. 8.5, 9,000, 8.5, 9,000 every month. I asked everybody I knew could be the one paying that tithe. Everybody told me, no, it's not me. One time when we had just gotten the building there next to the stadium, a man was just passing by. He entered. He said, is this a church? I said, yeah. We were just still fixing the place. He had a whole bunch of money in an envelope. He said, this is my tithe. I was passing by. I thought to myself, if I pass with this, I'll eat it. So I'm dropping it here. A whole bunch of money in an envelope. We don't know the person. He said, this is a church. Yeah, this is a church. He left it there. I can go on and on and on and on. Vuyo, where is Vuyo? Vuyo, please stand up. This is the young man God used for us to find this land where we are right now. This young man. I've chosen to believe in everybody God gave me. We're never going to have land. He came to me. Just like the pastor, I think there's a land. And because I don't despise anyone God gives me, I chose to listen to the young man. We drove here at 9 p.m. in the night. And the Lord told me, this is the place. This is it. I said, from Vuyo. Yeah, from Vuyo. Oh, yes. Don't despise yourself. We are small today. We shall be great tomorrow. Everybody in this ministry, you will look back tomorrow and say, look at us. Look at us. Look at us. That's how anything great is done. Are you ready for the word? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's share quickly something this morning. Receiving from God. Amen. This morning, let's look at 3 vital keys to receiving from God. 3 vital keys to receiving from God. You see, I teach you about receiving from God, and I want to use 3 questions to give you these 3 keys. The first question, I answered it 2 weeks ago. Remember last week, I couldn't teach you on this because we had that awesome weekend that the Lord gave us. Praise the Lord. John 3:27, the Bible says, John 3:27, To this, John replied, a man can receive only what is given him from where? From heaven. Can I give you an advice? Don't fight people. Don't be jealous of people. When you see somebody having what you don't have, don't be jealous of them. Understand that heaven gave it to them. And if you too can make your way to heaven, or if you know the ways to heaven, you will have your own. You will have your own. You see, a man can receive only what is given him from heaven. From heaven. From heaven. Don't think they have it because they are too beautiful. Don't think they have it because they are more educated than you. No. Do you know how to get to heaven? If you know how to get to heaven, then you will ask, you also say, have your own. Now, because receiving from heaven can be an open tax, because people don't know how to receive from God, I've decided to take my time this month to teach you. Because you see, if I can show you how to receive from God, you will see a lot of things about your life will start changing. Yeah. You must ask yourself, how can ABC be building churches and ABC is full of small children that are still going to school? Because the finances of ABC are not controlled by the children inside ABC. The finances in ABC are controlled from heaven. And if the pastor knows how to receive from heaven, you will be shocked that even without a lot is happening all the time. And that's the same key I want to show you. You can be in the house of God and still not get anything. It's possible. And I actually believe it is the greatest frustration to be in the house of God and to not enjoy anything from God. So that Satan can convince you that church is useless. Ah, there's nothing in the church. Ah, you thought your problem would be solved by the church. Look at you, you've been there. I mean, it's been 7 months. There's nothing. Stop believing this church thing, man. Go make a plan. No. I assure you, there's something in the church. There's something in the house of God. Amen. And I want to show you the keys that will help you to also start enjoying it. Amen. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, the whole message, you will find it on YouTube and on Castbox. Like I've told you before, if I have to really preach the whole message here to us, we'll stay here until a very long time. Are you hearing me? So we need to just concise what you need for now. But always remember, what I'm teaching you here is not even half what I've taught. Don't make a mistake. It is not even half of what I have taught. It's just a little portion I'm giving you so that we can, you know, work with time. And I'm believing that if you love yourself and if you love your life, you will choose to go for it yourself. The messages I listen to, nobody pushes them down my throat. I love my life. I love myself. I love the people God gave me. So I need to equip myself. So I go for knowledge on my own. I don't need somebody to push a message on me. No, I go myself because I need it. If you love yourself, you will not just take the little thing Pastor gave you here on Sunday morning. You will go for the full message. And you will listen to it many times so that something can enter your spirit. Amen. Question number one in getting the three keys this morning is, why does God give to people? Why? Well, I've answered this question on YouTube. I've given on YouTube 6 reasons why God gives to people. Or shall I say, 6 reasons why God wants to give to you. But after I preach that message, the Holy Ghost says to me, son, you forgot one major reason. It's not six, it's seven reasons. So I realize I missed one. Hey. So let me give you that one and find the other six. On YouTube and Castbox. Amen. Why does God give to people? Because God is good. Pastor, why is God give? God gives. Why? God is good. You are not serving an evil God. I say you are not serving a wicked God. You are serving a good God. God is good. God is very good. Hallelujah. I know that you think you know what I'm saying, but you don't. Just listen to me. Praise the Lord. God is good. God is good. And because God is good, God gives. God is not giving because you qualify per se. The first reason is because he's good. I want you to understand that. Matthew 5 verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Amen. 45. He says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. Sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. God is good. There's a criminal that is plowing the ground somewhere, and God is also going to send rain there. There's a thief that stole clothes somewhere, went and washed them, put them on the line, and God is sending the sun to dry also those clothes. I know you can't believe that God can do that, but you are reading this. He sent his rain on the righteous. When it's raining in South Africa, is the rain choosing houses? I know this is the house of a thief. I'm not going to rain here. I'm not going to. The rain comes for everybody. The sun shines on everybody. Why? God is good. God is good. God is good. And if this truth sits well in your heart, you will start rising. Praise the Lord. The other reasons, you will find them on Castbox and YouTube. Second question, how does God give? I know God wants to give, but how does he do it? How does he do it? Well, I'm just going to give you a few reasons on how he does it. In the book of Psalm 103 verse 7, the Bible says, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. Amen. What that verse is telling you is that there's a group that only knows when something is done. They don't know how it gets done. Do you understand? And there's another group, usually very few people. You see here, say, he made known his ways to one man. Yet his acts, everybody knew the acts. Apparently, when there's manna, everybody can see the manna. And everybody is enjoying the manna. But nobody knows how the manna is arriving. In other words, they might not be able to get manna tomorrow. Except the man who knows the way to the manna is there. That's the ways. The ways are different from the acts. Many believers focus on the acts, the miracle. But they don't know the way to the miracle. Every usher, sit down. Sit down. Reduce the movement. It's not even 100 people here, please. Now, listen. The ways is how God does things. How he does it. You are seeing the healing. But how does he heal? So that next time if you are sick, you know the way. And because so many people don't know the ways, they are forever dependent on the few that know the way. And sometimes, if the person who knows the way is crook, he will start manipulating things. Before you realize, you are told, if you want this, do this. If you want this, do this. And because you are desperate and you are at the mercy of the person who supposedly knows the ways, then you start doing whatever he says. But the will of God, precious people, is that you too should know the ways. And I want you to lend me your ears for a few minutes. I will show you now, you are not forsaken. You are not abandoned. You are not forsaken. You are not abandoned. You just need to know the ways. That's all. That's all. That's all. No matter how much I love you, if I gave you my bank card and I said to you, go to the ATM. I even gave you the pin. Now you arrive at the ATM. You put the thing. And the thing starts speaking to you. And you don't know where to press. Do you see? You're not going to be stuck. Even though the provision is there. The money is there. But you don't know the way to the money. Therefore, you are moneyless with money. I beg you, by the grace of God, pray to know the ways of God. It will change your life. It will change your life. God is mysterious, but God has chosen to reveal his mystery to his children. Don't say to me, no, nobody can know the way. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. So we can think like Jesus. We can think like God. Now, I'm just trying to provoke the love for knowledge in your heart. Because you cannot get everything here. But if you go, well, some say, go on YouTube and you'll find everything. And now don't go there and you start going for other things. Do you understand? Like you're not going there. You are going for this message before you realize you are not busy with something else. Protect your mind. Now, one of the ways through which God gives to you, which I taught 2 weeks ago, but not here on YouTube. God, can I give you the quickest, simplest, easiest way? Yes. Like this one works any day. Yes. You are not. You don't want these things, huh? Lungile, should I give you the first? Like this is the entry level. Yes, that you want to receive from God. This is the entry level. Anybody that does this will receive from God. Who wants it? Who wants the first? Like this is entry. I mean, it's entry level. What must I do for me to receive from God? Are you ready for this? Uh-huh. You know what I call it? The work of your hands. The first way, the most predictable one, the easiest one, the one that is guaranteed to work. Before we go to the complicated ones. The work of your hands. You see those hands you have? Don't we use them to receive? If I give you something now, will you receive with your legs? You receive with what? With your hands. So the first way to receive is with your hands. But just that, you don't receiving freebies. God places ability, capacity, giftings in your hands. He enables your hands to do something. And through the works of your hands, God begins to bless you. So God doesn't say, I will bless your hands. No. He says, I will bless the work of your hands. So if you can start working, God promises he will come and bless what you are doing. And that is your first way to receiving from God. The works of your hands. The works of your hands. We don't work because we are slaves. We don't work because God hasn't visited us. When God started blessing man, man was not cursed. Yet God gave him work. Plow the land. Tend the garden. There was no devil. It was just man and God. And yet there was work. Work is not a punishment. Work is not a curse. Work is your first way to meet your needs. Am I talking to the right people? Don't hate work. Don't take work as a punishment. Those of you that don't work and you are eating, you are breaking a spiritual law. Because the Bible says, he who does not work should not eat. It's in your Bible. It's just, I think my team is going to get it for you now. He who does not work should not eat. So some of you, if you go by that law, only a skeleton should be sitting here right now. Like, we should be having a skeleton sitting here. And some of you, you're not eating, but you are fat. You are not working, but you are full of flesh. Without work. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. So those of us that keep eating without working, you are breaking this law. Actually, you are under investigation. From heaven, the angels are investigating your case. The FBI of heaven is checking you. Don't be surprised if you get arrested. You shall not be arrested in Jesus' name, because you are learning the wisdom to get to work. Why do you think God gave you hands? To touch women? No. No. These hands, everything you see built anywhere is built with hands. Anything you see working anywhere is working with somebody using his hands. So if you don't, the first thing God gave you that brings things to you is the work of your hands. I said the work of your hands, the work of your hands. So now, the difference between you and somebody who doesn't come to the house of God is very simple. God blesses your work as to compare to their work. And you see, you don't prosper because of work. No. If it was work, everybody was prosperous. There are people, they've been working since 25 years ago. They're still working. They are working every day. Even Sunday, they are working. But they're still asking, Kopa 10 Ranta, Kopa 20 Ranta. They are not prospering. So work in itself doesn't prosper a person. It is the blessing of the Lord on the work. Proverbs 10:22. Look at it. Look at it. Please don't be lazy. If you are lazy, there's nothing nobody can do for you, including God. The blessing of the Lord. NLT it if you don't mind. Praise the Lord. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, let's go. So it is not the work of the person that makes the person rich. It is not the intelligence of the person that makes the person rich. It is not the connections of the person that makes the person rich. It is what? What is it? The blessing of the Lord. And now you are now learning. Where does the blessing of the Lord goes to land? The work of your hands. The blessing of the Lord is what makes you rich. Yet it needs something where it can come and drop itself. And the thing where the blessing of the Lord can drop itself, we call it the work of your hands. Now, a lot of us, you have the blessing of the Lord with you, but it is not speaking. Why? Because there's no work. It's being wasted. Satan deceives you into thinking work is a curse. Satan deceives you into thinking if you work hard, there's something wrong. Satan deceives you into thinking if you go to work every morning, you come in the evening, you are not blessed. I saw some of you, small sickness, you are sending sick notes. You don't like the work, and yet without the work, the blessing cannot work. Oh, I just say something. Without the work, the blessing cannot work. You are a student, work your academics. God will bless them. You have to work. You are in the house, work in the house. Clean. God will bless. I said, God will bless. God will bless. You will never know who is watching you. You will never know who is watching you. I mean, I'm a mere human being, and sometimes I watch people and they don't know I'm watching them. How much more God? You never know who is watching you. When you do something, do it well. And you know, when we work with people, we can see this person hates the job. They're just waiting for a small opportunity. They think it's spoiled. I mean, as soon as you turn your eyes, they start doing matcha things. Yet they are praying louder than everybody, asking God to bless them. Because I've already blessed you. You see that small job? If you could do it properly, you will elevate from there. He blesses the works of your hands. He doesn't just bless. The blessing must... Okay, give me the scripture. In Deuteronomy 28. Maybe, you see, there's no need for me to give you 1,000 points. Do you understand? If I can give you 1 or 2 points and you understand them, it's better than give you 1,000 points and not say nothing. Whew. God is good. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to do what?
To send rain.
Where?
On your head.
Uh-huh. God doesn't send rain on you. He sends rain on your land. Now look at the next line. And to bless all the work of your hand. Because when I send rain on the land, I'm expecting somebody to work the land. And when you start working the land, then the blessing will start manifesting itself. The rain is for the land, and your hands are for the work on the land. And when you start working on the land, then the blessing, you see, he will bless all the work of your hands on the land. And then the blessing of the Lord will now make you rich. Did you understand that first way? So you see, just that one, a lot of people miss it. Yeah. I can count the days that I go to bed at 10 p.m. Most of the time, 1 a.m., 2 a.m. And I'm back at 6 a.m. I'm a workaholic. Because I discovered God doesn't bless you. You are lazy. You are going nowhere. I assure you now. I'm your pastor. I'm telling you now for free that if you are a lazy person, you go to bed the earliest, you wake up the latest, you bath for 3 hours. You watch TV for 5 hours. There's nothing nobody can do for you, including God. I shouldn't say these things. I should just leave you guys alone. I'm telling you now that God blesses the work.
Amen.
There must be work to bless.
Amen.
If there is no work to bless, the blessing will not work. Write it down somewhere. There must be work to bless. If there is no work to bless, the blessing will not work. There must be work to bless. If there's no work to bless, the blessing will not work. Pastor, nobody is employing me. Who spoke here about jobs? Employment. Work is not a job. Work is work.
Amen.
Cleaning your room is work.
Yes.
Cleaning your yard is work.
Yes.
Cooking is work. Just work. Washing your clothes is work.
Yes.
Get some work going.
Yes.
And God will bless that work. That's your easiest way. A lot of lazy people are sitting around hoping for God to send angels to give them things. And they've been waiting since the days of Noah. Nothing has happened. Watch any pastor that is doing well. Check his schedule. You can't cope. You can't cope. You see, we like criticizing rich people. Let me tell you something. Number one, you criticize rich people, you will never be rich. Do you understand that one? Like, you are criticizing something you want. Anything you attack will run away from you. So if you criticize a rich person, forget about being rich yourself. That is just a simple one I'm telling you. Not all rich people are crooks. Not all rich people are lazy. In fact, I don't know a really rich person who is lazy. It's not possible. It's not possible. You should rather be inspired when you see a person doing what you don't do.
Amen.
When you see a person with results you don't have.
Yes.
Rather than criticize, she slept with the boss. Okay, you also have the good. Why don't you go and sleep? No, it's like you say she slept with the boss. It's like maybe she has something you don't have. Don't you have the same stuff? It's because his brother is this. You know, when I became a pastor, people were under the impression I became a pastor because my brother made me a pastor. So I told the people, first Sunday, I said to them, watch me change before your eyes. You think I'm here because I'm the pastor's brother. You watch me. And I've been evolving before them every day. Every day. Through work and knowledge. Work, knowledge. That's how you change.
clap. You are the next person to be blessed in the name of Jesus. My time is almost done. Let me give you just one more. There's so much. You need to go on YouTube. It's not time to give. How does God bless? Through the process of growth and transformation. Write it down somewhere. What do I call it? You see, when you come to Alive Bible Church, you have come to university. Do you understand? Like, you must come here with a pen and a notebook. Because things are being taught, you'd have to write and take notes. You might not remember everything I'm saying. This is the University of the Holy Spirit. Jehovah International. This is what, that's where you are. Through the process of growth and what? Transformation. God is not Father Christmas. Acts 20:32. Please take your seat. When you start standing, you want me to preach more, but that time, the time is finished. We have to go. Acts 20:32. Are you here? Now, this is a scripture. Let me kneel down for you. I'm begging you. Know this scripture. If you can memorize this scripture, I'm kneeling down just to beg you that don't joke with this scripture. This is your life. Look at this scripture very well. You will now understand why I'm kneeling down for you. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are what? Sanctified. Brothers and sisters, this verse is a modus operandi of understanding the other way through which God blesses and gives to a person. You are now learning from the verse. God never starts by giving you first. That's not where God starts. Look at the verse. I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to do what? That is where God starts. You see, the giving part comes after. God never starts by giving you. I know when you come to him, you say, Lord, give. No. He doesn't give first. The first thing he does, he builds you up first. The next time you are asking God, why haven't you given me this? Also check your build up. Am I able to carry what I'm asking? The first step of receiving is building up. God builds up people first. If you miss this, you will keep being frustrated in the house of God. You will keep feeling God has abandoned you. You will keep feeling God is not hearing you. You will keep feeling God doesn't want to help you. Man, it's not like that, my sister. God starts not by giving. It will be a waste. To the most part, if God was to give you what you ask now, you will waste it. So many are times, God withholding from you is an act of his mercy. Like not giving to you sometimes is how good God is. God is so good, he will not give to you now. He will first build you up first. Then when you are ready, then with pleasure, he will give to you. I don't know whether you've ever woken up and you were not even praying for something and the thing has come.
Why? Because once you are ready, you don't need to pray. It arrives. You will just see it and you're like, eh? Bah! You are ready. This thing that you are killing yourself, killing angels, killing everybody for the thing to come, and the thing is still not coming. You must ask yourself, stop praying for the thing. Start as, Lord, build me up. Build me up. That's where God starts. And that's why many a times you think he's not working, because when God is building you up, it's inside. It doesn't show. So for a long time, you will think nothing is happening. Meanwhile, 1,000 things are happening. It's just that it doesn't show yet. This is why impatient people cannot go far with God. Because you gotta be there and let God work on you. Let God work in you for a long time. When you are in a hurry, maybe God has only built you a quota. You already want to jump. And you become a casualty. Let God work. The Bible says, he who began a good work, where? In you. If something is happening in you, can we see it? I say it's in you. Now it says, he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. So when it's now completed, then everybody can see it. But the day you see it is not the day God started. The day you are giving a testimony is not the day God bless you. God blessed you 3-4 years ago. But he was working inside you. Inside you. God was building you up on the inside. God was building up your character. God was building up your mind. God was reading your heart. For the thing you are praying for. If that thing was to land in your current state, it will scatter you to pieces. I've come across 2 young people in this South Africa that went for what they were not ready for. And one came to me. He says to me, Pastor, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't control myself. Yeah. Pastor, when I didn't have a job, I was better. I was better. He told me I was better. I didn't have money, but I was better. Yeah. By the time he's talking to me, he says to me, Pastor, I've spent 30,000 on prostitutes. He said to me, I have count the money. It's about 30,000. I have spent on prostitutes. He hasn't been working for just 1 year. Already 30,000 on prostitutes. Said to me, I drink now. The things I do, and the thing, because there's money. So the things I'm experimenting with, I'm afraid for my life. I said to him, you know, if you are another person, I could have given you an advice that ask these people to demote you so that the money can reduce. But in your case, there's only one advice. Resign. He said, hey? I said to him, I'm your pastor. I pray for people to get job. But in your case, you're not supposed to have a job. Resign from that thing if you want to leave. Because it has, that one God didn't give. The devil gave. I told you before, God is not the only giver. God is only the best giver, but he's not the only giver. Satan is a giver too. Satan can give you a job, brother. Satan can give you something. And you will know he gave it to you because of what it is doing to you. Praise the Lord forevermore. The process of growth and transformation. God starts by growing you and transforming your mind before he gives you. This is already an answer to somebody here. You are getting your answer already. This is why God is not a stupid idiot. Do you understand me? Like, you have to understand, you are dealing with a highly intelligent being. He created you, by the way. So there's nothing you can hide from him. You can deceive Pastor Pascal. You cannot. The Bible says God cannot be mocked. Are you catching me? Yeah. The process of growth and transformation. Are you growing on your way to your dream? Are you being transformed on your way to your dream? Oh, no, I'm waiting on God. Listen to me. It doesn't work like that. While you are waiting for the manifestation, you should be growing into something and you should be transforming into the thing. Can I actually submit to you? It is your growth and your transformation that will actually culminate to the manifestation of the thing. Like, as long as you remain the same way you are, the thing will never come. Galatians 4 verse 1. My time is up. My time is up. Verse 1. Think of it this way. If a father dies and leaves an inheritance for his young children, those children are not much better off than slaves until, what happened? They grow up. Even though they actually own everything their father left them, but they are still as slaves. Until they grow up. It is yours, but you haven't grown to it. So it gets taken from you until you grow up to it. Whatever you're trusting God for, you have to grow in responsibility. In knowledge, in understanding. You see, you are asking God to give you a wife. Do you understand women? Like, do you? No, I know. I'm not saying, do you know the parts of a human body? Because most of us, when you are saying I'm ready, you are saying I'm ready because I know where the hair is, I know where the nose is, I know where the breasts are. Do you understand these people called women? Do you know how many books have been written on women before? Do you think people are writing books because they are crazy? There's a lot you don't know about women. And there's a lot you don't know about men. Yet you are there saying, Lord, I'm ready. I'm ready. Send the thing now. Don't say you. You are not a wife. You are a knife. Some of you are not a husband. You are a dustbin. Work on yourself. Please, I hope I'm not insulting anybody. I'm just exaggerating a bit to help you understand what I'm saying. Help you understand. You're asking God, you're asking for 5,000. You can't wake up consistently at 5 a.m. just to pray to God. But you are telling God that, no, if you give me a job, I'll wake up at 4 a.m. How many young people in this community got jobs at the mine here? They couldn't keep the jobs. As soon as they get paid, we never see them again. Until the money finishes. Who can run a business like that? That as soon as I pay you, I must not start hiring other people to work on the time while you are away. In your spending spree. Grow up. And then the thing will be gladly given to you. Grow up. Grow. Hey, Pastor, I don't know what you mean. You know what I mean. You know exactly what I mean. Grow. Grow. Read. Study. My people don't like reading. But they are seeing themselves running a multi-corporation. I mean, our dreams are so big. Our learning is so little. And we are always asking ourselves, why this thing hasn't come, man? This thing hasn't come. I need a stronger muchi. I need a stronger. Muchi cannot read for you. Muchi cannot study for you. As a matter of fact, even if you go and get muchi, the thing will still not work. Because it doesn't work with muchi. It works with knowledge. Okay, let's all of us go get muchis and start flying planes. Like, we just want to go and die Sangoma. I want to fly a plane. I don't want to learn how to fly a plane. Just give me a muchi and I will enter the plane. When I enter the plane, I say to the people, this is your pilot. Your pilot for the day is Pascal. I just want to make you aware. I've never driven a plane before. I've never flown a plane before. But don't you worry. I've got a strong muchi on my pocket right now. My muchi is from the biggest witch doctor in the area. So as I will be using this muchi, this plane will fly. Listen, you will not be done with this speech. Everybody will run away from the plane. As funny as what I'm saying is, that is how following supernatural without knowledge is. You might not be using muti, but you are using tongues. And you are thinking that tongues will compensate for your lack of reading. It doesn't. If God knew that you don't need to read, he was not going to give you a whole 66 books. If he knew that tongues is enough, why give you 66 books to read? If speaking in tongues will solve all your problems. You better go on YouTube. Can we stand on our feet, please? Praise the Lord. Do you feel blessed? Look at your last verse for the day. Matthew 25, verse 15. Go home with this. Are you going to forget that verse on Acts? Don't forget it. Matthew 25, 15. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, let's go. 2, 1. Yes. Yeah. We all want God to give. God's giving is not the question. God wants to bless you more than you can take. He said, blessing that you will not have room enough. The problem is not the blessing. The problem is the room. The room is not enough. So you are not seeing. God does not give you according to his generosity. God gives you according to your ability. It has got nothing to do with God's generosity. It's your ability that determines what he gives. You see, he gave to one 5. He gave to another 2. And he gave to another 1. Not because this one is white, the other one is black, the other one is colored. Not because this one is from a rich family. No. According to what? Everybody's ability. What is ability? What you are able to do. Ability means what you are able to do. What you are able to handle. What you are able to carry. So if I want the giving to increase, I must increase the ability. God is not limited. Your ability is limiting him. Or your lack of ability. Are you here this morning? Now, if you could believe what I taught you just now and see that God is waiting on you while you are waiting on him. He's waiting on you. He said, grow a bit. Just grow a bit. I want to give you. Grow a bit. Just grow a bit. Grow in wisdom a bit. Grow in emotional intelligence a little bit. You cry too much. Small thing, you're already crying. Small thing, you're already worked up. Small thing, you're already angry with everybody. You see, how many people can you employ if you are angry every 5 minutes? You see, you have to grow emotionally. There's no business that starts and it's just soaring. Business go up and then it goes down from time to time. So when now you don't like when things go down. So you are not ready for things. There's no relationship that is summer every day. There'll be winter days in the relationship. And when you are not ready for winter relationships, you only lack springtime and summer. So when the winter hits, you want to pack your bags and go to your mother. I have to grow for God to give more. I have to grow. Maybe that is what you need to pray. Let's pray the prayer of our sister. Lord, help us. Help me to see my part. There is a part I have to play. God is not the one to do everything and I'm just a sole recipient. So much to show you. We don't have time. But you go on YouTube. Just go on YouTube. Sir, you might not have money right now. But you know what you have? You have time. You have time. God start checking your leadership and your management with your time management. You are asking God to give you this big thing. But it's no. I don't need to give you money first. I gave you time. Time produces money. Time produces everything. The richest man in the world uses 24 hours. The poorest person in the world uses 24 hours. Everybody has 24 hours. Nobody has more time than another person. Your time management is already the first sign to God. You are not going far. How are you managing your time? What do you do with your time? You sleep. You eat. You are on social media. No growth. A Bible is still as white as the first day you bought it. No reading it. Your choice of friends. You're already telling God, hey, I can't go far. Don't trust me. Oh, give me one only. Don't trust me with five. Oh. I disappoint you. You don't need money to prove your management. Use your time. Show me how you are handling time. Let's start there. Then let's check your choices. Because those are your decisions, what you are doing with your life. Let's check the people you choose as your friends. Are you showing me by your friends that you want to go far? We don't choose our family, but we choose our friends. Look at the friends you have chosen. You have gone for all the idiots in the area, and you have made them your best friends. Now you are telling me you want to be a successful person. I don't think so. Your friends are speaking a different language. Your friends, look at what they are teaching you. They are teaching you how to watch porn. Yeah, they are teaching you how to kiss. They are teaching you how to smoke. They are teaching you how to drink. None of them is teaching you how to read. None of them is teaching you how to study. None of them is teaching you how to elevate your life. And you are calling them your friends. You are saying these are your friends. So brothers and sisters, without you saying it, you've already said it. You told God, my ability is too small. I will ask for big things, but don't trust me. Don't give to me. I can't handle my time. I can't handle my choice of friends. I can't handle my life. All this morning, wisdom is coming to you. For free, you are receiving wisdom. Open your mouth and start praying for more grace, more wisdom, more grace, more wisdom, more grace, more wisdom. Please don't joke with this word. God has sent a word to deliver your life, to rescue your life. You are not too old to learn. You are not too young to learn. It's never too late to change. You can still learn today. You can still change today. Open your mouth and pray. No movement, please. No movement while we are praying. Open your mouth and pray. Go ahead.
Father, give us more grace. Give us more grace, oh God, more wisdom. We pray for more grace. We pray for more wisdom. In the name of Jesus, Father, make us wiser. Father, make us wiser as the word has proceeded, as the word has come forth. Father, give us more grace, oh Jesus, more wisdom at that time. Father, we pray for Christ, the wisdom of God, Christ, the power of God. Oh God, we look to you. We look to you for more grace, more wisdom, Lord, more wisdom with our time management, more wisdom with our abilities, the abilities you have given us. Lord, help us, oh God, help us. Help us, oh Jesus, help us. Help us win the battle, oh God. Father, we pray for more wisdom. We pray more wisdom. Father, help us. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be effective with the abilities you have given us. Each one was given according to their ability. We pray, God, give us more grace and more wisdom, oh God, with the abilities you have given us, oh Jesus. Grace to grow. Lord, we pray for grace to grow. Father, I pray for grace to grow. I pray for grace to grow in the name of Jesus. Grace to grow and to be frugal with my time, to be intentional with every moment you give me, to be intentional with every hour, Lord God. Father, to be a good steward of every opportunity you are giving me, every moment you are giving me, the time you are giving me. More grace and more wisdom in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you for this word. Thank you that we are changing, Lord. We are changing, every one of us. We are changing as we've received this word, oh Father God. We are never the same again. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you are in the house of God this morning. And you've been thinking that life is changed by just the supernatural. As Pastor was teaching us, you thought that you just need a bit more supernatural force to get things done in your life. But you're realizing, as I'm realizing today, that it takes more than that. It doesn't just take the power of God, it takes the wisdom of God also. You've come to realize this morning that I need to grow. I've got ability, I've got talents, I've got natural resources that God has given me. But now I'm praying and I'm trusting God for the ability to grow, the ability to be intentional, to be effective in the abilities that God has given me. You are in this place, you are saying, I didn't know that it's up to me also, that God is depending on me to also play my part with the time that He has given me, to also play my part with the abilities that He has given me. I thought that God will do everything for me once I believe in Jesus. I thought that coming to church will solve all my problems. Now I realize that actually I have a part to play. And you're saying, you know, I see that it's because I'm an old man. I don't think I can be able to break free from all these things, these habits, these cultures, the things, the patterns I've adopted all through my life. I want to change. I want to break free. I want to engage the process of growth. I want to engage the abilities that God has given me, the raw material that God has given me, my talent. I want to make use of it. I'm praying for wisdom of God. Well, the Bible says Christ is the wisdom of God. When you receive Jesus and you make Him your personal Lord and your personal Savior, you are receiving the wisdom of God. You are here, you are saying, Jesus, be my Lord. Not only that, but be my Savior. Save me from laziness. Save me from excuses. Save me from an expectation of people doing things for me. Help me understand that I can do all things through Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's possible. I didn't think it's possible, but now that I've heard the word of God, I realize that it's possible, that time and chance are given to them all, that the race is not for the swift, nor the battle for the strong, but time and chance are given to all of them. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want to break free from the pattern of waiting for help somewhere else, waiting for some superpower, waiting for some miracle. I'm trusting in you. I want you to come into my heart and begin to charge me and begin to work in me the abilities that you have given me. If that's you today, Jesus is not your Lord, He's not your Savior. You've had other belief and you are seeing that actually it's possible to break free. Actually, it's possible to become a different person, to receive and to achieve greater results. You are in this place, you're saying, Lord Jesus, I'm here. My heart is open. I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. I want you. I need you, Jesus. I need you to save me from myself. Save me from the old patterns, old way of doing things. At the count of three, lift up your hand high and we're going to pray together. 1, 2, 3. Raise up your hand. I see 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 hands going up all over the building. Don't be ashamed. Lift it up. Lift it up very high. You're saying, I see your hand, my brother. I see your hands. Hallelujah. I see your hand. I see your hand, sister. Yeah, don't be ashamed. Lift it up to Jesus. He's going to help you. You can put your hand down this morning. You are here in this place today. Like many of us, you've been waiting for some help. You've been waiting for somebody to notice you, somebody to send help. You've been waiting for God to do something. And He's showing you and I this morning that there's an ability that He has given us. As a born-again Christian, we have a part to play. We are not just in the business of just being receivers and receivers and receivers. But God wants to work with what He's given us so that we can achieve more for His glory. You're saying, I have not been operating in the wisdom of God. I'm praying for the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. I've been depending on the power of God without wanting to engage the wisdom of God. So this morning I've heard the word. I'm a born again Christian, but I want to recommit. I want to accept the challenge of engaging the wisdom of God. I want to pray for wisdom. I want God to give me wisdom so that I can live a better life. At the count of three, you can lift up your hand. You want to recommit your life to Jesus. 1, 2, 3. Raise up your hand high if you're saying, I want to recommit. I'm born again, but I want to recommit my life to Jesus. Yes, I'm born again. I've been loving God. I've fallen off track. I lost hope. I got discouraged even. But because I've been leaving everything up to God. Not waking up early. Not engaging my life. Not being actively engaged in seeing change in my life. I want to change. I want to work with God as He works with me. At the count of three, lift it up. Lift it up high. Lift it up high. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He sees all your hands. If you've lifted up your hand for any of this altar call, I want you to do a third thing. I want you to take all your belongings and come and join me here. You are living that life of just leaving things to chance. You are living that life. God is doing something new for you today. Take a bold step of faith. You're saying, I'm stepping in. I'm stepping in. I'm stepping into new ability. I'm stepping into the process of growing. Come and join me right here if you've lifted up your hand. Come and stand right here with me. You're saying, I'm stepping into growth. I'm stepping into the ability that Christ has given me. I'm stepping in. I'm stepping in. I'm stepping in. Come. Many people are stepping in. Step up. You're saying, I'm stepping up. I'm stepping into the greater call of God for my life. I'm stepping up. I'm stepping up. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your word. Believe me, God is doing something new. Yes, many people are still coming. Come. Encourage them. Encourage them. Encourage them. Encourage them as they take a stand for Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We are grateful. Hallelujah. I want you to lift up your hands to Jesus. I want you to know that as you've taken this step, that He's here. And He's here to help you in your journey with Him. Hallelujah. He's here not just to help you, but to increase your capacity. He's here to increase your ability. Hallelujah. You have not taken a step in vain. The Bible says, I've not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. You are not seeking God in vain. You're not seeking God in vain. Hallelujah. I want you to know that the Bible says in Ephesians 3 verse 18 that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Now we are lifting up our hands to ask for wisdom. We're asking for wisdom, the wisdom of God. Christ, the wisdom of God, and Christ, the power of God. Raise up your hand to Jesus. I want you to focus on Him. Close your eyes so you can see Him. So you look not on the things that are visible, but the things that are invisible. So that you don't consider your own ability, your own strength. You consider Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Repeat after me this prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. Say like you mean it. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. I surrender my life to you today. I believe you died for me. I believe you died for me. And on the third day you rose again. Please forgive me my sins. And wash me with your blood. You died for me. That I might be justified. Right now I believe. My sins are forgiven. I'm justified by your blood. I am saved. I'm restored. I'm born again. I'm a child of God. I'm free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank you, Jesus, for receiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for restoring me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for these ones that have taken a bold step of faith towards you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word says you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. These ones have taken a step, Lord Jesus, to come out of their pews, out of their comforts, out of their chairs, Lord God. We thank you, Father, that you are giving them the grace and the ability to always step up, always grow, always rise to the challenge, always come up hither. We thank you, Father, that will be the story of their life. That, Lord Jesus, you will increase their ability, Lord God. That you will increase, you will help them grow in the knowledge of God. That they are no longer slaves, oh Jesus, although having all things that God has given them, although being co-heirs with Christ, that they are exiting the mindset of slavery, they are exiting the group of slaveries, oh God, and that they are entering into the fullness of who you've called them to be, Lord God. Father, I pray for an anointing upon their ability, an anointing upon their ability, an anointing upon every one of their abilities. Some can sing, some can dance, some can solve complex challenges, some can lead, some can write poetry, some can do great things, some can even preach the gospel. Some can even win the lost and make disciples. Lord, I pray for an anointing upon their ability in the name of Jesus. Anoint everyone of the ability you have given them, Lord, because all of us are born with an innate ability, oh Jesus. I pray for growth, Father God. I pray for growth. I pray for spiritual growth, spiritual understanding, spiritual maturity. Let it be their portion. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.
Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Remember to subscribe to receive our latest service notifications and to share the link. You can also watch our pastor, Pastor Pascal, live on our Facebook page, Alive Bible Church HQ, or on our YouTube channel, Alive Bible Church SA. Remember, you are alive to give life.